Ramsey TV.
It's a horrible theory. Horrible. Horrible. It's so horrible. What an insult, really, to Christ. How insulting Aaron Welch's unworkable theory is to Christ. According to Aaron's theory, Jesus Christ was sent here involuntarily, just like the rest of us. He didn't really sacrifice anything more than the common human martyr. The baby that came into existence in Bethlehem had absolutely no intention of being here, according to Aaron Welch, or coming here, or doing anything noble or worthy. Just found himself alive. What the hell am I doing here? The baby's divine task was forced upon it, just like any other human martyrs. He walked toward death just like any other human martyr, according to this silly, unproved, unworkable theory. This is Martin Zenner. You're at MZTV. Welcome to another edition. I am demolishing Aaron Welch's arguments that Jesus Christ, that nothing is through Christ, that Jesus Christ didn't exist. There was no Son of God before Bethlehem. There was no Son of God. Forget your crazy ideas that Jesus Christ voluntarily came to this realm to suffer with us, to partake of our estate. Get that crazy idea out of your head. Nope. He didn't want to be here. He had absolutely no intention of being here or coming here, doing anything noble or anything at all. Nope. He just, one day he's like, what the hell? Right. According to Aaron Welch, this baby grew up in a poor working family, is raised in the slums of Galilee, obeys all the Jewish laws, and does nothing remarkable with his life. At age 12, the baby turned boy goes to the temple, finds out he's pretty smart, at the Jordan River as a man. He gets baptized by his cousin, and a dove lands on him, and God says, "This is my son." The son then walks out of the river and says, "I'm going to empty myself starting today." You follow me? Did you watch yesterday's show? Aaron says that the emptying of Christ, Jesus Christ emptying himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. Christ emptied himself. According to Aaron Welch, that didn't happen until his baptism in the Jordan River. In the meantime, as I said, I'm going to repeat it again. He grows up in a poor working family, is raised in the slums of Galilee, obeys all the Jewish laws, does nothing remarkable with his life. At age 12, the baby turned boy goes to the temple, finds out he's pretty smart, okay? At the Jordan River, as a man, he gets baptized by his cousin. A dove lands on him. And there we go. God says, "This is my son." The son then walks out of the river, says, "I'm going to empty myself starting today. I'm going to really become like every other human starting today. Starting today, I'm going to take my Adamic commonality to new levels. This is it. The big emptying. Time to become a real Joe." From this time forward, he turns gallons of water into wine, raises several dead people, controls the weather, walks on water, feeds thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, projects himself into the future, levitates and glows on top of a mountain, and cures hundreds of people of hundreds of diseases. Nice way to empty yourself, Jesus. Oops. Oopsie. My main point, ladies and gentlemen, is that not only does our friend, and my friend, dear friend, not only does our friend Aaron insult our intelligence with this business of Jesus saying, "I'm not really going to humble myself until after my baptism." But he destroys the beautiful truth of the willing, not forced, sacrifice of the Son of God, who consciously decided to submit himself to the perils of humanity. This is not the cross now, that's later. He consciously decided to submit himself to the perils of humanity and to therefore become subject to death. All of this in the likeness of Adam, who, because of his love for his wife, voluntarily joined Eve on the other side of the Iron Curtain of sin and death. if Adam, who was not deceived in Eden, you know the scripture verse, put it down here. Adam was not deceived, but Eve coming to be in the transgression and so forth. If Adam was not deceived in Eden, he's a type of Christ. And that Adam voluntarily joined his wife on the other side of the iron curtain of sin and death. Knowing that, who will dare point to the greater man, the last Adam, and suggest that at no time did this capital M man ever want to come here or ever desire to be here with us in the throes of this curse or ever in his wildest dreams want to become an Adamic human so that he could die for us, so that he even had the possibility of dying for us. Can't do that unless you're human. But that the whole enterprise was forced upon him apart from any predisposition on his part to noble sacrifice. If this is the case, then truly Adam is greater than Christ. Because Adam voluntarily joined Eve in sin and death, in the realm of sin and death. Is that something that Christ didn't do? Adam greater than Christ in this aspect? No, Christ voluntarily entered the realm of sin and death, being apart from sin himself and being unable to die unless he himself laid his life down. He voluntarily entered our realm to be with us. This is one of his greatest glories that Paul describes so aptly and plainly in Philippians 2. He empties himself and he humbles himself. Emptying himself, coming into fashion as a human, taking the likeness of humanity, and then he humbles himself, becoming obedient, even unto the death of the cross. These distinctions, that is, his sacrificial emptying, coming to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in fashion as a human, and his going to the cross, all these distinctions are purposeful and important. Aaron neglects to differentiate both likeness from fashion and humanity from human. I'm going to explain this. Certainly, if you read his articles, he focuses more on likeness of humanity rather than found in fashion as a human. Little wonder, because the coming to be of the literal physical body of Jesus Christ in fashion as a human blows Aaron's Jordan River scenario to bits. Are you telling me at the Jordan River, that's when he came in fashion as a human? He doesn't emphasize this fashion part, because it blows his theory to smither frickin' reens. Coming to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in fashion as a human are, as I've just suggested, different aspects of the same event. In the likeness of humanity describes human mannerisms. In fashion as a human describes the common number of arms, legs, toes, and so forth, including the presence of a head and the usual number of ears that made Jesus Christ look like every other son of Adam. Both of these things came to be. But when? That's the question. Let's study the word fashion. Let's look at it. The word fashion from Philippians 2, verse 7, is translated from the Greek word schema, whose English element is figure. That's the English element of the Greek word schema, translated fashion in the concordant version, Philippians 2, 7. The Greek-English keyword concordance to the concordant literal New Testament defines schema as, quote, the prevailing form. So not only did Jesus Christ, up to his baptism, act like every other human being, but he looked like every other human being. For again, schema, in fashion as a human, speaks of the prevailing form. Likeness of humanity speaks of the mannerisms of humanity. So here's the two-part emptying of Jesus Christ that Paul is anxious to describe to us. His manner, just in this one part here. Not even speaking of the cross now, of humbling himself. A two-part emptying. There's two parts to the emptying. Right? Later he humbles himself, becoming obedient to the death of the cross, but there's two parts of the emptying. Likeness and fashion. Those are the two parts. Subcategories of emptying himself. His manner, how he acts, what he does, and his constitution, his schema, his figure, what he looks like. As these two things, manner and constitution, are two different aspects of the same event, as I've been saying, Christ emptying himself, how is it that Aaron emphasizes one and barely comments on the other? Read his article, you'll see it. It's because the coming of Christ's literal human body, Philippians 2:7, not the mere existence of that body, but the coming of it, came to be in fashion as a human, sends Aaron's premise off the cliff. Woo! Off the cliff like Wile E. Coyote. And blowing up at the bottom into a cloud of dust. That Christ not only came to be in the likeness of humanity, but also came to be in the form of a human as a result of consciously emptying himself, consciously did it, wanted to do it, chose to do it, great sacrifice, just like Adam's sacrificed for his wife. She's the one that was deceived. She ate of the fruit first. Paul says clearly the man was not deceived. Eve comes and tells him the situation. Adam said, "You did what?" But God had told him to be fruitful and multiply, so Adam voluntarily joins his wife. What a noble act. That's even better than opening the doors for your wife. Or cleaning the garage. Joining her on the other side of the iron curtain of sin and death. Too bad Jesus didn't think of that. Too bad the Son of God didn't do something as noble as that. Oh, but he did. But Aaron denies it. He not only denies it, he denies Christ of it. So that Christ not only came to be in the likeness of humanity, but also came to be in the form of a human as a result of consciously emptying himself, negates, destroys Aaron's contention that this could have occurred 30 years after his birth at the Jordan River. That's when he came into fashion as a human? Did Jesus Christ suddenly come to be found in fashion as a human at the Jordan River after his baptism? So, as he emerged from the Jordan, did he suddenly sprout arms and legs, toes? Was it in 28 AD, 30 years after his birth, that Jesus Christ grew a head and assumed the proper number of fingers? Did he only at this late date, near the end of his life, suddenly begin walking on 2 feet? Was it at the baptism of John that for the first time people pointed at him in complete shock as he exited the water and exclaimed, "Oh my goodness, it's a human!" This is Aaron Welch's teaching. That he doesn't take the form of humanity until he comes out of the Jordan River. He doesn't come in fashion as a human. What? Because he just doesn't believe that Jesus Christ existed before. Because he can't give the Trinitarians that argument. Not that it would possibly prove their point anyway. When they learn that Jesus Christ came out of God. Look, it's a human. Of course, this is completely absurd, and so is Aaron's argument. I hate to say it, but it is. I have to do this, because people are believing this crap. Jesus Christ was found in fashion as a human, not 30 years into his life, but in Bethlehem, when he emerged from his mother's womb looking like every other baby in Israel, and in the rest of the world for that matter. This was also the time when he came to be in the likeness of humanity, insofar as acting in the manner of every baby human in the world, crying, nursing from his mother's breast, eliminating waste matter into his diapers. Yeah. He comes into the likeness of humanity, does the things other humans do at his birth, just as he comes to be in fashion as a human at his birth. The only way that our Lord could have chosen to take the fashion of a human, for as Paul writes, he empties himself. He empties himself. Not a figure of speech. A figure of speech doesn't empty itself. A gleam in the eye of God doesn't empty itself. A metaphor doesn't empty himself. He emptied himself. Philippians 2. Taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in fashion as a human. The only way that could be is if he pre-existed his arrival in Bethlehem, which he did. For it was in Bethlehem that he came to be in fashion as a human. Not only did Jesus Christ empty himself of his pre-existing glory with God to take the form of a human and to behave like a human, but as a human, he also humbled himself, his second amazing glory, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. These are Christ's twin glories and his preeminent boasts. And may no man, no matter what manner of strange teaching and contrary wind of teaching that man may bring, may no man rend that asunder.